Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk a little bit now about, you know, Ukraine. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, been pushed to the back burner. And as much as it was totally in the news cycle, it has been relegated now to, you know, a back seat. And that's tragic. It's going to be tragic for all of us because what the conversations are, what conversations that are being had right now are so frightening that, you know, we have to be aware. Decisions that are going to be made, conversations that are being talked about right now by our government and Ukraine will impact and affect all of us. And we can't, because it's not on the front burner anymore, because it's been going on now for some time, that somehow we lose concentration and thought on it. Our nation is in it up to the horse's brow right now and getting more and more involved. And this is getting to be more and more dangerous. And just because it's out of the news cycle for the most part and we are not focusing on it doesn't mean it's any less dangerous. And so as long as I'm, you know, before this microphone, I am going to continue to make sure that at least the people within the sound of this radio station don't lose sight of exactly where we are and just how dangerous a time it is. The White House appears to be, you know, President Joe Biden was asked the other day about his response to the asking of Zelensky, President Zelensky of Ukraine, about, you know, some long-range rocket systems that can actually be fired from Ukraine and go into Russia and do major damage to Russia. Now, many of you might say, well, yeah, why wouldn't we do that? You know, that's only fair. We should be doing everything we can to make sure that Ukraine can protect itself from the bully Russia. And it's easy to say that. And you could say that that's a sensical response when you see a bully or an elephant beating up a flea, if you will. Because if Russia really opened up its weaponry, it would be akin to an elephant picking on a flea. The only reason Ukraine is in a position to offer any pushback is the United States government. Make no mistake about that. And so we know that's the case, and Russia knows that's the case, and Ukraine knows that's the case, and the developed world knows that's the case. Well, I talked about this, I think it was last week, towards the end of last week or earlier last week, about the fact that Russia was putting ballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, on their submarines, bringing those unthinkable weapons out of storage and loading them up on submarines that are moving around through the Black Sea and other places. That's more than talk. That's serious, serious action that could lead to World War III. And it's no longer just talk. When you bring those kinds of missiles out of storage, these are ballistic missiles, that ICBMs that can travel, you know, intercontinentally and strike, you know, lands, for instance, the United States. Yes, Russia has those capabilities as well as we have. You know, we haven't loaded them up on any submarines that I'm aware of. But Russia has, because of their fear that the United States is secretly at war with them. Well, when you hear President Zelensky asking for weapons that will, rockets that will reach Russian shore and do damage to the Russian people, I'm not saying that in a war that shouldn't happen. But what I'm saying is the United States is not at war with Russia. But if you do that, because right now Ukraine doesn't have the capabilities to hit Russia and cause the kind of damage to the citizenry that they are causing to the Ukrainian people. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I get it. I understand that in a perfect world, you'd want things to be kind of on equal footing, but that's not where we are. And so Ukraine is never going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with Russia without the support of our nation. And our nation has been very cautious and careful about what weaponry they have allowed. But now we're at a point where the war has moved to a position where now just the defensive weaponry that we were providing for Ukraine is not enough. Because now the power and might of Russia is now starting to take place. And they're starting to, their will is starting to take place. And the power of their nation is starting to cause even more damage to Ukraine, even with the weaponry that we provided thus far. Not enough. Not powerful enough. But President Biden was more than aware that when he started sending the weapons and our government started sending the weapons, that we were careful not to send weaponry that was offensive and that could cause real damage to Russia. We're at that point now where that decision is being talked about. The following remarks by a senior administration official from Ukraine is asking the United States government to send those offensive weapons that will reach Russia and cause damage to Russia's mainland. And I got to tell you that anybody who cavalierly says yes, which is what we're getting from Lindsey Graham and others. Yeah, we need to do this. Let's get at it. Let's have at it. Let's show Russia. Is a foolhardy move. And with long-standing implications that all of us will rue the day. That if that happens, if the decision is made to send those weapons to Ukraine, to fire at Russian, you know, Russia's homeland and causes major damage to the Russian people and to their homeland, you've just opened the door for World War III. You may say, well, maybe at some point in time that was going to happen anyway. But I'll say to you, it doesn't have to happen. And why is it that we have decided that this is the hill that we want to die on? You know, a nation that is not even our ally. You know, if we're willing to do those kinds of things for a nation that is not even our ally, and we're willing to go all in for that nation, you got to ask the question about what about the American people? Because of where this is going to lead, Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Listen to this. The MLRS is under consideration, but nothing is on the table with the long-range strike capabilities, the administration said on Monday. This is the Washington Post. The Biden administration was expected to announce a decision on sending the systems into Ukraine sometime this week. Multiple outlets have reported before the Memorial Day weekend Pentagon, Press Secretary John Kirby said officials are still determining what the next drawdown package will include. Certainly, we're mindful and aware of the Ukraine ask, privately and publicly, for what is known as a multiple launch rocket system, Kirby said. I don't get ahead of decisions, but I can assure you that we're in constant communication with Ukraine. We're still committed to helping them succeed on the battlefield and to succeed specifically in the fight they're in. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham has been pushing to provide the systems to Ukraine. On Monday, he called Biden's remarks against the delivery a betrayal of Ukraine and democracy itself. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join us. What do you say? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, we just celebrated Memorial Day and all of the fanfare and talking about all the men and women who lost their lives in wars supposedly for democracy. And the more you read into things, the more history you read, the more you realize that a lot of those people lost their lives in vain because we were involved in situations that really we had no business being involved in. And that's what we're talking about right now. And to what extent are we willing to involve this nation's treasures, and most important, the lives of innocent people who have said that they love this nation and they put their lives on the line for it. Shouldn't our nation be very cautious about, you know, involving the lives of people who are willing to lay it all on the line for our nation? I think so. Listen to this. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has been pushing to provide the systems to Ukraine. Again, rocket systems where those rockets will reach Russia. Ukraine could not do that without the support of the United States weaponry. And so right now, Russia is not concerned about Ukraine and that because they know Ukraine doesn't possess those kinds of weapons. But once they get those weapons, it's another ball game altogether. So Lindsey Graham has been pushing to provide the systems to Ukraine. On yesterday, he called Biden's remarks against the delivery a betrayal of Ukraine and democracy itself. What does he mean, a betrayal of Ukraine? Since when, again, Did the American people and our government take on the burden, the financial burden, and the military burden of Ukraine? They didn't ask me. They didn't ask you. You may ask the question, what is he talking about? A betrayal. The betrayal is the fact that if we are willing to send those types of weapons into Ukraine, it becomes a betrayal to the American people and the American people's safety. Because right now, we don't have to worry about those types of things that could possibly happen based on those weapons going into Ukraine and then eventually being a part of the destruction of Russia. Betrayal. The betrayals to the American people who are not aware of this kind of conversation even being had. Meanwhile, Russian Security Council Deputy Chairman Dmitry Medvedev called Biden's apparent ruling on not sending the systems rational. Russia shifted its offensive in recent weeks as it continues to focus on the Donbass region and southern Ukraine. The concentration of forces in that area has presented various changes for Ukraine. Russia is more familiar with Donbass as fighting has been ongoing in that region for the past 8 years. So how many of you know that Russia and Ukraine have been in skirmishes over the last 8 years? They've already been at it for 8 years. And now all of a sudden the United States has a moral responsibility? Lindsey Graham is absolutely off his rocker, out of his mind. And anybody who thinks that that's what we should be doing, you're as far out of this as he is. Zelensky has asked for long-range systems. Some missiles have a range of nearly 185 miles, Newsweek has reported. Now, those things are a perfect range to strike Russia, the homeland of Russia. And I'm not saying that I support anything Russia has done. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But there are wars going on all over the earth. They have been for a long, long time, and we have not made the kind of financial investment that we have in Ukraine, and the continued investment, because the $40 billion that was just approved that is going there, it's only going to hold them over, tide them over for a couple months, and they're going to be needing even more. At some point in time, America is going to have to realize that we're not going to be able to unilaterally support Ukraine in this war. The longer it goes on, the more the United States is going to have to invest in it, militarily and financially. And the more the earth, many parts of the earth, is going to face famine because they're not going to allow wheat and grain to get out of Ukraine or Russia as long as this war goes on. There's more involved in this than meets the eye. And we, as the American people, the American citizens, had better focus on exactly what is taking place here and what the outcome of this kind of escalation of our involvement in this war is going to be and what it's going to cost. But make no mistake whatsoever. Right now, Ukraine does not have the weaponry to strike into Russia. They've got some lightweight weaponry, but not enough to cause any major damage or concern to the Russian homeland. As soon as that happens, the escalation of this war is going to be on the front page of every news outlet across the globe, because the outcome of it will take us back and harken back to a history that many of us who've been around a little while thought we'd never see again, never would want to see again.
I was hoping I'd never see it at all, period.
Yeah, I know. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to alarm anybody. But you have to look at what is taking place and what is getting ready to happen. And it is frightening, to say the least. Look, we've got to go to a break in a couple minutes. Actually, in a minute. And, you know, people may say, well, why are you trying to scare people? I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to make you aware of what is one of the most dangerous times in our nation's history. In a long, long time. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into The Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Here's a conversation, Sam, that you don't often hear from me. But this one I couldn't turn away from. No, I'm not the next Oprah Winfrey. Okay, now that's not who I'm looking to become. But a 21-year-old woman refused her 37-year-old brother-in-law. So here's the story. A mother and father decided to take their children and their families on a vacation. The mother and father paid the way for their children to come on a vacation in separate hotel rooms for their daughters. One daughter is married with two children. The other daughter doesn't have any children. The daughter that's married and has two children got into an argument with her husband that got to be pretty intense. And so that daughter told her husband he had to get out. Now, they're in a different state because the parents are taking their daughters and on this vacation, and they're all looking to have a good time. Well, this thing got so heated. Again, the daughter told her husband, you got to go. You got to get out. And so the husband, who's 37 years old, had nowhere else to go. They're in a different state. He goes over to the sister-in-law's hotel room. 1 o'clock in the morning, knocks on her door and says, you got to let me in. I don't have anywhere else to go. And she's single. And she says, no, I'm not going to let you in because I don't think this is right. I'm your sister-in-law, and I can't have you sleeping in my hotel room. He makes a big stink. He says, your sister told me to come over and sleep in your room. The sister-in-law says, No, I'm not going to let you in. This, he begins to go ballistic, escalates this thing, and the hotel people come up and say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? They contact the parents who are in the same hotel, who paid for the rooms. And the mother says to the 21-year-old, you're in the wrong here. We're trying to have a vacation, and you need to allow your brother-in-law, who's 37, to sleep in your hotel room. Thing blows up even more. Now the father steps in and demands that the younger daughter allows her brother-in-law to come into the room and sleep. She again denies. The father-in-law then balks and says, well, I paid for the room. His daughter, young daughter, says, I'll reimburse you for the room. But I don't feel comfortable having my brother-in-law sleep in this hotel with me. Now, here's the dealio, as they would say. What is your thought? Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Who's in the right? There shouldn't even be a question about who's in the right. So he wound up sleeping outside. Well, number one, he must be not be much of a provider, because he couldn't provide enough money himself to even get a room for himself. So he slept outside. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. What do you think? I already know what the answer is to this, but why should that even be an issue, even a question? You know, yeah, that's his sister-in-law. She's 21. That's not her brother. If that's her brother, maybe I can understand that. But that's her brother-in-law. And yes, there is a major difference between the two. Sam, am I off base?
No, not at all. And at the end of the day, it just comes down to what a person is comfortable with. If she's not comfortable, she's not comfortable. Like, period. You don't have to explain yourself to someone. If you are feeling that a boundary is crossed, your family should respect that boundary. When you said the father was like, mm-mm-mm, to the daughter, like the sister-in-law, my jaw dropped.
No. He is not his sister-in-law. Both of those were his daughters.
Right. So, yeah. I just can't believe he wouldn't support his daughter.
Well, his thing was, hey, I paid for this vacation.
And but the man's causing the issue, not her. Like, he's directing it at the wrong person here.
Well, he definitely was directing it at the wrong person. But you know, to even have the debate, to me, is the issue. I mean, at the center of all of it is the brother-in-law.
Yeah, y'all can be as close as you want, but you don't need to sleep in the same.
I mean, the fact that he is not even in a position financially that if he got into this debate, a fight with his wife, that he couldn't then come out of his own pocket to get a room himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's the person at the center of all of it. The rest of them are all family. And the family is being, you know, destroyed by this guy. He's the outsider. And the fact that the family could not come together
enough. That's what I'm shocked about. You just kind of tend to, even in breakups and stuff like that, I'm just always so shocked when the family just doesn't support your actual child in that situation. Like, what?
You know, like I said, this is not a subject matter that I normally take on. But I just couldn't fathom, you know, a family breaking up because of, and so this, and I'm going to use the term deadbeat, and And he's a deadbeat because he couldn't do what a man should have been able to do to keep that family together. And that's, you know, well, I had to sleep outside because she wouldn't let me in. Oh, come on. You had to sleep outside. You had to sleep outside because you didn't have any resources. You know,
put that, it when you say his age, it's not as bad. It doesn't sound.
Well, he's 37
right.
years old.
Like, oh, I had to sleep outside. No, sir, you clearly did not.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, there's so many different things that you have to deal with. But that's not one. Nobody should be crying crocodile tears for you. Stand up on your feet. Get a backbone. You know, you've been married. People don't always. That's part of marriage, arguing and people not always agreeing, and so that's the way that is. But as a father myself, I couldn't understand. And then the other part of it was the second daughter, the 21-year-old, said to him, "Why don't you go sleep in the hotel room with my dad, and then my mom can come up and sleep with me?" And his response, the brother-in-law's, his response to that was no. So, you know, he certainly could have mitigated all of it by doing what would have been the right thing. He chose not to do the right thing, and this family has gone through some tremendous strain because of him. You know, I mean, just another unconscionable way that people look at things. And at 37, he's acting as if he's entitled to that. You know, you're not entitled to anything if somebody paid your way for this vacation, and you don't have enough sense to know that now is not the time for me to fight with my wife, you know, because we are here and we are here because somebody else provided this, then you keep your mouth shut and you man up.
I'd be embarrassed if I made a scene in front of my my wife's family. Well, like that. I would be mortified.
He should have bit his lip. And not, you know, accepted the fight and kind of walked away from that because he knows he's not in a position to do anything for himself. But and so that's at the root of it is him. You know, part of being a man is accepting responsibilities. And clearly he was not in a position to do that. Just to me, one of those things that always continues to make me wonder what happened to men, right? I mean, you know, men used to be strong, right? You know, you want a man that's going to be strong and is going to be able to stand up on his own, but somewhere along the way, we are losing that. I'm not saying we want you to be John Wayne, you know, but come on. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 in Texas, that same number. I want to talk now about, you know, life is so cruel and difficult. And, you know, He is a subject that, you know, we're fortunate and blessed that we don't have to deal with. You know, we are so fortunate, some of us in our lives, that we don't know what other people are going through. And sometimes even as, you know, as nice as our lives are, we still just don't have an understanding of how fortunate we are. Louisiana passes a bill that could free some 10 six-lifers. Once signed into law, the bill would give parole eligibility to some of Louisiana's elderly prisoners who have spent decades longer in prison than they were told to expect. Now, this is talking about men, many of them, who have spent 40 to 50 years in prison, and many of them who have been there for crimes that they didn't commit. Louisiana state lawmakers passed a bill on Thursday that will provide parole eligibility to some of the people who were told they would have a chance to be released after 10 years and 6 months of good behavior. But what this is really talking about is men who were facing, you know, death sentences or life in prison for crimes that many of them, we find out later on, did not commit. They were given a promise that if they took these 10 years and 6 months of good behavior, they would be released and trusted the penal system would be telling them the truth. Yet, as it turned out, many of those people have now spent over 50 years behind bars for crimes that they did not commit. You ask the question, how can that possibly be? If you know people didn't commit the crimes and the people were afraid to run the risk of a regular trial, even though they know that they were innocent, you may not believe it. You may not believe that that ever happens, that there are people who face those kinds of realities. But, yes, there are. All the time, you see constantly where people are being released. DNA evidence that now is available, that wasn't available 50 years ago. And they're freeing people who were innocent. Well, that's what happened to many of these men in Louisiana who are now 70 years old, and now they're going to be released after they were lied to that they would do 10 years and 6 months. They've done 50 years. The overwhelming majority are black. Some were wrongfully convicted, and others pleaded guilty to crimes they did not commit, opting to spend what they believe would be 10 and a half years in prison rather than risk the death penalty before all white juries. The bill introduced by State Senator Franklin Foyle will only provide parole eligibilities to 10 to 6 lifers who pleaded guilty, excluding those who went to trial and were convicted. So even though there were those who went to trial that were innocent and were convicted, they were innocent. They're not included in this new release. Again, they were convicted, but they didn't commit the crime. Fewer than 20 people will be affected by Foyle's bill, and said a parole project, rehabilitation center. We trust in this nation that our jurisprudence is right. And so that's what many of us, they're going to go to court, they're going to get a fair trial. Who says? Unfortunately, we live in a society where if you don't have any money, you're not going to get a fair trial. And that's the case. And anybody who thinks that that's not the case, shame on you. In many instances, freedom is for those who can afford it. This nation, what it claims to be, it's not. And sometimes you don't know it or you won't accept it until it's you or one of your loved ones who's had to deal with this kind of injustice. Again, these poor souls have had to deal with this, and they're not dealing with it in the gulag. They're dealing with it in the United States of America. You know, why is it that when these kinds of things come up, we're deaf to it? We don't want to talk about it. We know it occurs, you know. And so, you know, thank God it wasn't me or my family. But why can't we admit and look at these kinds of things and say, hey, our nation is wrong? Hey, our government is wrong. Hey, we know that there are people in the penal systems that have been locked up. They're there through no fault of their own other than the fact that they don't have any money. To do this to these men and then not give them anything. You've locked people up for almost their entire adult lives. Lied to them. And then released them with nothing. Nothing. That's the nation in which we live. I got to tell you, I'm never going to be silent on those kinds of things. You know, even though I know there are people listening, and I know that, you know, this may not be your soup du jour, but right is right, wrong is wrong. This is wrong. Why is it so hard for us to admit that? A separate bill introduced by State Rep. Regina Barrow, which would have provided parole eligibility to all the 10-6 lifers, did not receive enough support to move forward. Again, why wouldn't you include all of them? They admitted guilt because they were afraid they were going to get the death penalty. And now there's DNA evidence that comes back and exonerates them. And the best you can do is say we'll let them out, the ones that didn't plead guilty. Come on, America. We can do better than that. You know, we can do better than that as a people. We can do better than that as a country. Excuse me. I'm not anti-American. I'm anti-wrong American when we are wrong. It needs to be pointed out. And we are wrong in this instance. And those in Louisiana should have been pointed out by our federal government and what happened here. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.